All right. Well, the energy is building. And it's good that you can tell because of the laughter. For most people, when energy builds, it gets scarier and scarier. But you see. Or it becomes, the positive side of scary is exciting. It can be exciting. But when you get laughter, it absolutely diffuses all the charge on stuff. Laughter is an antidote to taking it personally. That's why humor and comedy is such a stress reliever. Once nobody takes it personally, because generally the comedian in stand-up, for example, will make fun of him or herself and their quirks, or of course of the proverbial mate who always has to, or mother or somebody that has to get it. But the universality of it enables everyone to laugh off the tension and not take it personally. All right, so time for another question. Who would like to ask?
Hi, Alexis, Marlene.
Hello.
Would you be willing to speak a little bit about the presence of orbs and who they are and what they are here for?
All right.
Thank you.
Well, orbs are conscious beings. They come in that in a form of light. Most often they're round, but they can also come in geometric figures. Most often they're white, but they can come in almost any color. Generally a pastel shade, rarely anything darker. They're often indistinct because they often have a hazy quality about them. But if someone can see them, they can be quite precise. If you look up close to an orb, you will see an extraordinary map of consciousness. It looks like somewhat like a mandala, but it doesn't have the, what you might say, the mirror imaging that a mandala has. There's nuances of color and pattern all the way around. The only thing that is in common with a mandala is that it's round and that there very often are certain little sequences and layers and things in there. Most often, they are members of your spiritual family. Now, spiritual family we're using this definition or this term, not in a way that you're used to. We're looking at it from the point of view of what you might call soul origin patterns. When you are created as a soul, it's almost like a manufacturing process. It's just amazing. There's all sorts of combinations, unique, put in souls. But souls have similar groupings, and they're called families. And the groupings has to do with a certain orientation. Like, for example, this is something from human being heritage. Goes, it's very ancient. It also is on other planets and systems. is that your soul origin, you have a certain type of color imprint. Now, you as a human may never be able to see that because it's beyond your spectrum. You can see some of it, perhaps, but it's beyond your spectrum. The complexity of what your soul pattern is extraordinary. But there's certain colors or certain types of patterns of soul combinations, like you are actually a combination, your soul, a combination of a whole bunch of different particles, kind of like molecules put together make a creature, you know? If you ever looked in pond water under the microscope, you could see, you know, there's aggregates of cells and molecules and so on that form these creatures. Well, there's a unique aggregate of light functions, of conscious pieces, of orientations, even down to certain shadings and certain contextual energies of thoughts and feelings and so on. And you put them together, or rather they are put together, and in a unique way, and the life, the consciousness, is through, to use an analogy, through the divine, breathed into it, and it becomes alive and conscious. Now, there's certain commonalities of patterns, and these are grouped into families. And when families incarnate on the earth, they incarnate in families, and part of the families that they incarnate in, and in the ancient traditions when people didn't mingle all over the planet like they do now, there is a system, and you're familiar of it probably from studying shamanism and that kind of thing, is that people were reincarnated into their same biological family over time, okay? So that if you consider that some of your ancestors way back there were actually you in an earlier, quote-unquote, incarnation, right? Now, the families have orientations to develop certain qualities, certain foci on the planet. For example, there are spiritual families who are into architecture and who have contributed greatly to your culture through the centuries by contributing concepts of structure and form, of elegance and beauty and architecture. And there are people who are on the planet who are in that spiritual family, who are indeed architects, but also others who do architecture more metaphorically, like they create systems and structures that have elegance. Right? Then there are those who tend towards, you know, the priesthood or ministership or shaman, those who are spiritual leaders or medicine men and women. There's a certain category of families that are like that. And people are born in that family so that in the circumstances so they can evoke that particular orientation. Now, the families that you're physically born into may not be members of your spiritual family. In other words, you may not be born into the family and want to continue the family business or the family orientation. But the contributions of your particular family are generally stay in one kind of area, right? Now, every one of you has families that have particular focuses. There are certain philosophers, there are families that love, you know, nurturing plants and agriculture and gardenings, and there are certain families that are really focused on healing and medicine and so on. And these talents show up. Any member of a family gets incarnated, they will show up as the person's personal gifts and talents and orientation and direction. Now, orbs are members of a spiritual family who are not incarnate on the planet at this time. In your spiritual family, the vastness of your spiritual family, most of your spiritual family is not incarnated at any given time, any given moment. In other words, there may be a spiritual family with several hundred thousand in it, but maybe only, you know, 5 to 15,000 or 20,000 are incarnate. Right? So very often what their family does is that they want to support you. They're part of your team. We mentioned that when we talked about spirit helpers on Friday night. Some of them are your team, your spiritual family members. And they support you in the development of those gifts and talents that are in alignment with your spiritual family inheritance, part of your essential soul pattern. And so, for example, dear Marlene, you have you have an orientation towards healing, do you not?
Yes.
All right. Your spiritual family is very much into healing and all the healing arts, in all the different aspects of it, including medicine and biochemistry and all that kind of stuff, and the usage of energy and frequencies. And so they can be in different fields that utilize frequencies to create change and things like that. And not everybody's family comes to visit them as orbs. Generally, the people who seem to be around orbs the most are people who are in true resonance, who are doing the work that is in alignment with their spiritual family, and their spiritual family is, and the spiritual family is oriented towards a certain sense of emotional uplift, joy, psychic perception, and higher frequencies. And so that tends to come through in that regard. So for example, Marlene is seeing orbs because many of these are healers from other time spaces, from the spiritual family, from the soul blueprint, who are coming as in support. So part of the reason for them to show up is to give you support for your work, because they want to infuse you with energy to whatever extent that you are willing to receive it, to help you in your work and to remind you that you are, and as a healer specifically, you need to remember that you are loved, and that healing is all about raising the resonance into greater love, right? So this is their message, in a sense, if there's any such thing as a message. Essentially, they're just hanging out with you, right? Now, if there's a gathering, a spiritual gathering, very often at sacred sites around the world or places where people gather for spiritual events in a consistent way, or it's a pilgrimage place, it's a place that is held as sacred, very often you will find that people who are sensitive to orbs will take pictures with orbs there. If people are coming to do meditation, sometimes you can get tremendous amounts of orbs in a room doing meditation. Now, orbs are attuned to a particular person they're coming to support, but they will occur in groups of people who are celebrating, people who are high in a spiritual sense, who are just elated. They love elation. All right? And so if a bunch of people get together in elation, which is a kind of a lower frequency of spiritual ecstasy, right? Elation over, you can even see it as at a sports game when the team wins. You know, the fans are elated and it can attract a lot of orb activity. For example, also the channel got over the internet pictures taken at Obama's acceptance speech, where the crowd was there and they were just elation. They're in ecstasy. It's a change of order. Yes. And this higher philosophy, this higher excitement that so many passionate about were there, all excited. And their orbs just all over the crowd. Now, the only people who can take pictures of orbs are people who either can sense them or who are attuned to them through their family, through their working with the energies of their family. And so, for example, for Marlene, what happens is that the orbs will attune or bring to her the right camera to take the pictures. Not all cameras can do with this, you see. It has to be, in a sense, in alignment with the person and with the spiritual family. Some people can take pictures with cameras of the same event. Other people took many pictures of this Obama acceptance speech and got no orbs at all. But that doesn't mean that they're less spiritually evolved, okay? Understand that it's a particular type of relationship between spiritual family members and those who are incarnate or special ones who are incarnate, because they may not show up to all of the spiritual family members who are present on the planet. It's generally for those who have some kind of particular spiritual directive that they are supporting and who have a certain spiritual work that they are supporting. And it can also be an artist. It can be artists. It can be creative people. Spiritual work doesn't necessarily mean, you know, energy healing, the form of that most people associate with spiritual work. But there are people who are able to take orb pictures and who've traveled all around India to sacred temples and so on, and they're just covered. They're just covered. All of you have had orbs around you at some time or another. And there's quite a few around today. Right? Not everybody's going to be able to take a picture and find them. But they are here. Your spiritual family members will show up, one, two, many, to let you know you're loved. They are very loving. They're very nurturing. They love elation. And so any time that you get happy, any time you get excited, they would like to show up. Sometimes they want to support you when you're going through some kind of difficult experience or challenge. They'll be there. Sometimes they just want to come at times of celebration. So it's not something that they come with a very consistent message, except for that we're loving you, we're supporting you. All of you, though, are being loved and supported by spiritual family members who are part of your spirit helper team. And you can call on them if you like. You can call on your spiritual family to be with you, and you can call them in any time that you wish to advance any kind of manifestation. In fact, what we all do is we'll be calling them in later on today for our final meditative process, right? So does that answer your question more or less?
Yes, all right. Thank you.
All right, you're certainly welcome. And here you see, all of you, here's Marlene, who is able to sense them. She's starting to see them more. She's going to see them much more as it develops. This is one of her globules of light, you see, one of her aspects of light chaos that's going to open up more and more and more. It was not appropriate for her to see them 5, 10, 15 years ago. But she's entering into a phase of her life in which she's taking up, it's almost like a representative work for the family. And all of you volunteered to represent your family. And it was an exciting and wonderful honor for all of you to be here on the planet. And that's part of, for you to remember too, is that you're not alone. The vast majority of your spiritual family is there rooting for you and is with you. All right. Thank you, dear one.
Thank you.
All right. Who's next? Decisions, decisions. There are several hands up. Yeah.
Yes. It's, Hi, Galaxis. This is Bianca.
Hello.
I have a question about my mistrust. I feel that...
Would you turn up the volume?
That I'm doing good with things like I can love and I can hold... And I can pour out my love and my light to others. But then what sneaks around is then the mistrust. It's kind of, it creeps up on me. It's like, can you really trust? So I see that in relationships. I see that as well in business relationships. And then I wonder, how can I differentiate my mistrust from my intuition? Is there maybe a whisper that I want to get some information that you have for me about this, how I can differentiate that?
All right.
Thanks.
Between mistrust and an intuitional whisper. All right. Well, trust is an energy that you must develop within yourself, because you see, the application of trust as your consensus reality would have it would be that you need to understand how to trust others and when to trust others. But the whole object here is that if you have an issue that you're seeing that your reality is potentially unsafe, or that you don't trust that you yourself will allow yourself to manifest or create a positive, joyous, fun reality for yourself, you'll suspect yourself or distrust yourself and think that, oh, I could sabotage myself. Well, you know, all of you have at some point in your life sabotaged yourself. But the way that you sabotaged yourself was by falling for the limited, the immature, the negative ego, right? So if you can distinguish the ego, you can build a tremendous amount of self-trust. So the way to build up your self-trust, which enables you then to perceive more accurately how to develop trust with another, or who is trustworthy in another, and to evoke trustworthiness in other people, is for you to become safe with yourself, to address that part of yourself you do not trust, the part of yourself that you're afraid is going to pull the rug out from under you any moment now, that's going to sabotage all your efforts, is that just as you're about to have total happiness, it's going to tell you the most terrible things about yourself, pulling yourself back into shame, which is, indeed, the negative ego, right? So if you can distinguish your negative ego, and so that's why we would say that you'd be very good to spend a few days just listening and watching and to your thoughts and seeing all those comparisons and seeing all the inner self-talk and recognizing what's going on there and what your reactions and responses are to it, then you'll be able to get a distinction about what trust is. Then you'll start to feel safer because you'll have the perception, you'll know how to determine within yourself if you're just giving yourself a hard time in your self-talk, if you're undermining yourself in your self-talk, if your self-image is one of a person who shoots themselves in the foot regularly, you know. It's, if you can decipher that, if you can tell that that's in there, you can deal with it. You can release it. You can process it. You can give it to your higher self. You can give it to us. Call us in. Give it to us. It's not congruent with our energy. We'll disperse it for you, right? So that's what we would recommend. Once you kind of get a handle on trusting yourself, and you do trust yourself to a certain extent, it's just sometimes you just really get into your optimistic young adult self and go a little bit over the deep end or go into fantasy, and then your negative ego can snag you there because you're not connected to your reality. You're not connected to you, to the divine being within you. The divine being with you can bring you a circumstance that seems very, very negative and very destructive and very sabotaging. But if you do not, interpret it as such, i.e., if you do not take it personally, and you anchor yourself in your divine nature, or at least call upon it, or at least claim it or at least choose it to shift your energy back into your power, then you're not going to catch it. You're not going to see the distinction. You're going to fall for some illusion. You're going to fall for some fantasy, for some hope that maybe this time, or maybe I should just not try anything at all. Maybe I should just kind of stay where it's safe in my little box. You know, that's an interpretation of the energies that are in your reality. That's not your reality. You see? So it's important for you to get that negative ego deciphered. If you will look back at times where you have indeed sabotaged yourself, if there's anything fairly recently, like within the past couple of years, you'll probably recognize or remember to a certain extent what went on in your head prior to that. What self you were really in. Were you the adolescent pining for love, yearning for the romance, for the picture, the vision of romance that a 16-year-old would have, or 17-year-old, right? Or perhaps a child looking for safety and security and something steady and safe that never will threaten you. You see, if you fall back into some of these immature selves, these selves that you have been in your past, you're basically telling your universe you're identifying with them and not with who you are really in the greater sense. And if you identify with them, you attract and draw to them, a draw to yourself through them, in a sense, a message from your reality. Hello, whisper, whisper, hey, you know, danger, danger. If you interpret that danger as that you're stupid, that you failed again, that you couldn't get your messages, and you're kicking yourself about it, then you're going to sabotage yourself. Or you're going to be terrified that you're going to sabotage yourself. And if you're terrified you're going to be sabotaging yourself, you have a resistance to your future, and you'll pull back, and you'll hide, or you'll put up your facade, the ego facade, somehow some kind of protection device, as because you will not feel safe. But if you take that challenge, if you take what looks like impending sabotage, impending doom, right, and you instead interpret it from your more conscious level of self, you'll say, okay, oh, this is the inner child freaking out, or, oh, I understand, this is the young adult in total fantasy. And all of a sudden, you're back. All of a sudden, you're clear. All of a sudden, you can trust what you do next. Does that make sense to you, dear one?
Yes, it does.
All right. Then you'll get clear. Mm-hmm. You'll be clear about it. This is such an important topic because this is where you clear your frequencies that are in your way. You clear your resistances. It's all in your head, right? And when you clear those resistances that are going on in your brain and talking to you all day, when that clears, you will be clear. You can trust yourself, and then you can trust that your universe is friendly and that what it sends you, while you will still stay aware, not vigilant, but stay aware, you'll be able to catch any whisper. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to adjust your frequencies. And most of the time, especially in relationships, if you adjust your frequencies, you will have a slightly different behavior, you'll have a different orientation, the vibration will be different, you will create safety for whoever it is that you are desiring partnership with. And when that happens, most of the time you can salvage, change, heal, or really restart a relationship. Or if you see very clearly from that perspective that this person can never be, in a sense, trustworthy, can never stop hurting you because they're wanting, more importantly, to be right than to have love, you see, then you could say, oh, I know, I see it, I know now. You can make it, you can talk to them, you can make attempts to explore the possibilities, knowing, you know, how they are, and not falling for it, and not projecting any fantasy upon them, and very often that can turn it around. You see, all of you probably have known somebody who you invite to a function or a party or something, and they say, oh yeah, how fantastic, I'll be there. And always at the last moment, they either call and say they can't make it, or they don't show, or something like that. There are people who are just seemingly unreliable. Well, you might just enjoy so much spending time with those people that you say, okay, what the heck, I just know they're unreliable, I'm going to invite them, but I'm not going to count on them. And if they show, fine, and if they don't show, fine. So sometimes you might just have to do that with people. You understand?
Yes, I do.
Because there are some people who are just so scared of commitment, even small ones. Like, you know, a party or whatever. Small commitments. We're not talking about a commitment to be present at the altar, right, or something. That's a big one, you know. But we're talking about just everyday stuff. There are people who want to please you. And they'll promise all sorts of things to you to make you happy. And you look, oh, how fantastic. Thank you so much. They've got their hit. They don't want to do it. You've known these people. They'll promise all sorts of stuff. And then when you want it, you say, yeah, you said you were going to send me that, you know. You said you were going to blah, blah, blah. Oh yeah, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry I didn't get to it. I've been so rushed, I've been so busy, blah, 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 excuse. And then it becomes such a big burden, such a big bear for them to follow through on what they say they want to do for you, that you say, oh, forget it. And they say, oh, no, I really want to. And the cycle begins again, right? You've known people like this. When you were young, you might have even tried it out yourself. You're so much older and wiser now, you don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Wanting to please, wanting to get them to be happy, and then, oh, they'll want to be around me. They'll like me now. Oh, I have to do something? Oh, darn. Some other time, maybe. Because the hit is not there of appreciation. Martyrs do that a lot. Mm-hmm. All right. So if you find somebody that does that, you already know where they are. You know where they stand. You can trust your perception of them. You can trust that they're untrustworthy. You see? But you have to also, if you make a promise to yourself, to your body, to yourself, you've got to keep it. Don't go and make promises to your body. Okay, we're going to get into shape. I promise you, we'll go to the gym twice a week. And you go twice a week the first week, and you go once the second week. Oh, I'm sorry, buddy, I just couldn't make it. Third week, you don't show. You know, then the body doesn't trust you. Then you don't trust you. You see? And it's all because you're trying to improve yourself and fix yourself because you're not good enough. Ego got into it, messed it all up for you. So be careful about promises. And be careful about other people promising anything. Not to be vigilant, not to anticipate that they're, you know, when you don't really know them that well, not to anticipate they're going to mess up, they're going to play games with you. But don't give people a huge chunk of your heart until you know they're trustworthy, until you know they're safe for you. That their intention is not just to be right, or their intention is not just to get a little hit of love from you. When you read people, you see, when you read people well, you can trust your perceptions of them. You can trust what to do, right? But it starts with you, trusting you, knowing what's going on in you, so that you can trust you. Then you can make good choices for yourself. And we, again, we want to put this caveat in there. You can make really good choices for yourself. And if you don't like the choice that you made, you can change it. Okay? You're free. You're free people. Okay? If you make a promise to someone else, you better do it. You better follow through. And if it sucks, and if you're frustrated with it, and if it's way more than you want, then you need to evaluate, why didn't I make that in the first place? Some of you want to be nice people. And anybody asks you, you cannot say no. Well, you can now. You've come a long way, dear ones. You can say no. I'm sorry, I don't really have the time, or whatever favorite excuse you have for it. Not to say, look, I really don't prioritize doing that right now. Thank you very much. That's what people call brutally honest. You can be tactful about it. But you don't have to use an excuse like a lack of time, lack of money, lack. You can say, I'm sorry, but I won't be able to get around to that. I won't be able to do that. Thank you for asking or whatever, and I hope that you find that. I hope you'll find what you need and all that. But most of you, when you got into trouble with that, you volunteered it, trying to help them in some way, trying to lift them. You can do it in other ways. You can do it by sending love, sending compassion. But don't let them bend your ear with long tales of woe. Just tell them, what do you plan to do about that? What are you doing about that? If they start complaining, what are you going to do about that? Orient them. Keep orienting them to the future. Keep putting them into the future. As soon as you go back into the story, orient them to the future again. To the future. You can say, I know about your story. What are you going to do now? What do you intend to do? What do you want to do about that? Encourage people's empowerment, because they're hurting themselves more than anything. Indulging in the dark story. But once you clean out your dark story, you'll be able to evoke the light story in others as well. So what is your light story? All of you, what's your light story? That's your future self you're going to work with. Some of you already have been working with your future self in one way or another. And that's your light future. That's your light story. What's really natural to you as a spiritual being? Abundance, prosperity, love, celebration, health and vitality. You want to create that to be natural for you. And when that comes, you are naturally trusting yourself, naturally at ease in your world, naturally expecting, anticipating magic of a positive sort, because you know that you can read the messages and you can respond to them. Thank you for that question.
Thank you very much, Galexis.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, unfortunately, that's it. We've got to go into the final meditation. Thank you, all of you, who have asked questions and been willing to be on the hot seat, who have brought up topics of interest to everyone, who's enabled a lot of growing, changing, learning, exploring, and adventuring for all. We have asked that the holotope be present for this meditation, holding an eighth dimensional resonance. For those of you listening on CD, and for those of you who have attended in person and who will listen again on CD, the resonance and the frequency and the imprint of this will be available through the CD. All right. In fact, the downloads, the meditations, everything that we have done with you throughout this workshop, the vortex will be established. Everything will function as if you are present with us live. It's important that you know this, so that you can be more present when you listen, and you can listen in between the sounds. You can connect on other levels, in other time space, and be with us. There's a whole host of people who are with us right now, with you, who don't even know it yet. But they're going to listen to a workshop. All right, so at this point then, let us do some manifestation magic. Let us link you up, ground you, align you with physical plane reality, so that you can bring forth into your physical world the resonance, the vibrations, the powers, the strengths that you have come to express. So getting yourself comfortable, and hopefully getting yourself in a place where you will not fall asleep would be helpful. The more conscious you are, the better. And we know we're going to go deep, so it might be challenging. If you do fall asleep or fall away, bring yourself back if you can. And when you do, when you come back, suddenly, oh yeah, we're in the middle of a meditation. Don't give yourself a hard time about it, okay? Just pick up wherever you can. The energy stream will be there for you. So letting yourself relax, closing your eyes, drawing the curtain of privacy around you. Let yourself remember what we did earlier. Remember lying there in that amazingly beautiful garden with thousands and thousands of little tiny beams of light moving through you at all angles. Just remember how it felt lying there. The beams of light coming down and through you from above, from the side, from top to bottom or bottom to top. And the ones coming in at an angle, at a diagonal, moving through at a diagonal, connecting with the polarity moving through the other way at a diagonal. Other diagonals, all merging in your center, moving through you, lying there, lifted vibrationally in light, templated in light, the grid, the template, the matrix. It's a 7-dimension matrix. Healing, cleansing, restoring, amplifying the nature of you, the you that you are working in the world. So let yourself step up, get up from that ground, filled with light radiating in many directions, those beams of light little tiny beams radiating in many directions, as if they're going with you now, as you walk. As you walk through this garden, now brilliantly lit by you. You find a path that may weave or it may be fairly straight, a beautiful path, perhaps bordered by flowers or along a beach of a beautiful ocean. A path for you, unique to you. What seems like a perfect path for you. You walk along this path. It may be narrow, weaving amongst beautiful bushes and wildflowers. It may be a broad path. It might be made of beams of wood through a gorgeous swamp. It may be beautiful shaved rocks, stepping stones of magic, beautiful, made out of jasper and colors galore. Whatever your path is, it is yours, and it is beautiful. Let yourself follow this path. You feel pulled, called, almost as if it's effortless to walk this path, because you're being pulled forward. You hardly have to walk at all. You can just lift up and just kind of float. At least it feels like that. And the path moves up, either moves up a rise, a hill, or perhaps takes a turn through the woods. And on the other side of this turn, or at the top of the hill, there's a luminous being waiting for you. A being radiant, effulgent, luminous. You feel the love of this being, the magnetism of this being attracting you, pulling you. This is your future. Your future standing there, waiting for you. As you get closer, you can see your features very distinctly, like looking in a mirror. This future may look older or the same age. If you're into doing longevity stuff, it may even look younger than you. But this is your future, waiting. This is a future radiant with love. Let yourself imagine. Imagine you in the future filled with love, radiating love to your world, loving your life. More than you can imagine right now. Feel the resonance of that love. This future self has the most extraordinary, strong immune system. The love of life. Radiant. The skin, perfect and beautiful. See this self. Smile at you. See the light glinting, shining, wet in their eyes. They are free. feel the freedom. They're outside the box, and they're perfectly safe there. They're comfortable with it because it's such a fun adventure, and they trust themselves. They are free to be who they are, free to be. And they love who they are. They love and value themselves. They expect and anticipate magic in all that they do. They have such a good relationship with their reality. It's a loving partnership. And they're always delighted to find out what comes next. They look to the future with positive anticipation. This future self trusts themselves. They can make choices. They know how to think. They know how to feel. They know how to make choices for themselves, how to decide their priorities. Those that are right and true. They assume that any circumstance in their life, that they are in their power. They never give it away. Oh yes, they used to, like you did. But they radiate power, a strength of consciousness. And their feet firmly on the ground, grounded, safe, calm in their reality. Oh yes, every now and then something really comes out of the blue. Something wild, something new. And they know how to respond to it. They know how to shape that energy. Shift it, move it, play with it, to discover more of the divine reality creator that they are. They know how to love, touch, and heal. They know how to send infinite amounts of loving energy to their world, to others. And they know how to receive from others. They can allow themselves to be vulnerable, to be seen, to be visible, to be touched by another. They have imagination. They're creative. In their own special way. They have passion for life, and they have touched the heights of spiritual ecstasy in the discovery of themselves. They find pleasure in what they do and how they do it. And they know way more than you who they are. And they know also that even though they know so much about who they are, there's still much, much more to know. And they're intrigued with finding more, learning more, and discovering more. They have a vibration, a field of resonance that surrounds them. It radiates these qualities, radiates their unique strengths, purposes, talents, gifts, that they are confident in. They know how to hear the messages. And they know how to call upon and work with and play with their spirit helpers. And all the forces of the physical plane as well. As you come closer, they open their arms to invite you to their embrace. Step into their embrace. Let them hold you. What would it feel like to be embraced by a self-realized being? What would it be like to be embraced by you, free, loving, empowered, and safe? Feel the uplift. Let them lift you. Let them love you. And as you stand there in their embrace, you luminous, radiant, them luminous and radiant, you still notice that the two of you are surrounded by a sky of stars, hundreds, maybe thousands of stars twinkling their love, points of light of consciousness, smiling, loving. And some of those stars leave their position and come together above you into a bright star. That is the way we come. And we send a light beam down to the two of you. And as it comes close to you, you notice that it's a column of light surrounding you both. Let us surround you. Let us love you both. Let us be with you. And it is time. It is time to line up a manifestation for you. It is time to line up your connection to manifestation for you. It is time to call upon your intention, your orientation, your desire. What kind of life do you wish to live? Look not to the form quite yet, but feeling this loving future self, just get how wonderful the life they lead is. In your mind, you see how your intentions and your choices are leading you there, to that place. Every choice you've made in your life, while you may think sometimes that you've made very regressive choices and had snapbacks and setbacks because of them, The intention underlying every choice of yours has been to arrive here. Acknowledge that in you. Yes, sometimes your learning has taken many curves in your path. But here is where you're heading. How would your life be today if you could infuse it with this energy, with these vibrations, with this level of luminosity? It would be glorious. Now, if you had that, what forms of manifestation would you feel would be in alignment with the way you are, with what's natural to you, with who you are, that might be the funnest forms you can imagine right now to bring into your life? Forms that are in alignment with your temperament, with your nature, with your joy. These alignments of your being. You see, every form, every manifestation, every doing, every action must be in alignment with your being for it to be rich and fulfilling for you, for it to become real as much as real can be in your illusion, for it to manifest, to drop into physical materiality that you can measure, you can touch, you can feel. Whether it is something that you would do as a work, receiving money, whether it is something that you would heal, experiencing strength and vitality, whether it is to create a life situation with other loving being or beings. What form calls you, attracts you? Your preference. And as you become aware of that, remembering that, see that in your life. You, this luminous being, living a life with that form manifest. Let it feel really good, moment by moment. Can you imagine what it would be like if all your self-talk were absolutely gloriously luminous and positive? Or better yet, that there was no chatter in your mind, but the bliss of the divine. How could you function in your day living in bliss? Bliss not being a distraction, but just part of your ordinary day. What would that be like? And as you feel this, this is the resonance you are setting for your future. We call upon your spirit helpers, greater aspects of yourself, mentors, masters, teachers, joy guides, spiritual family, orbs, power animals, power plants, friends from other lifetimes, other planets, other systems. And all those who love you and support you in your missions, We call them to come now. Let them come and surround you. You may not be able to see them all. If you're in a forest, they may be just thick between the trees. If you're on a grassy knoll, it may seem to stretch to the next grassy knoll over there. They come, hosts of them. Indeed, your whole spiritual family may show up, extending into the horizon. It is your day. It is your time. They come for you. They cheer for you. They send beams of light from their heart to you. Let them come. Let those beams come to you. The two of you, the center of a wheel of seemingly infinite spokes of light. And we call upon the forces of nature. We call upon air, fire, water, and earth. And they come in the form of grand beings of light, stationing themselves at the four corners around you. And we call forth, specifically we call forth the gnomes. And they come, perhaps dozens of them. Perhaps they are small, like small people, looking a little bit like elves. We call the fairy beings from the fairy realm to join them, to work magic with them. Physical connection magic. We call all those that you have loved through the centuries, through the eons of time, who now reside on the other side, to come be with you now. We call the divine essence of God, Goddess, all that is, present as witness, as radiance. We call Mother Earth, who comes to you, to both of you. She comes to you like a woman, perhaps with flowers in her flowing hair. Perhaps a diaphanous gown, or perhaps a weave of leaves. She walks to you. She has beautiful crystals and stones around her neck in a necklace that shines. She walks up to you, her presence huge, powerful, strong. You can feel it like radiant heat, but not hot. She comes to you, and you and your future self partly break your embrace so that you stand side to side facing her. Your arms around, one arm around each other's back. She comes to you. She touches you on your third eye. You feel a light there. The third eye is where you see the future. She taps it 3 times now. Tap, tap, tap. This anchors in your vision, your choice, your preference for the future into your vision. She leans down, and at first you think maybe she's going to kneel in front of you. What is this? She reaches down to your ankles and feet and puts her hands around your ankles, leaning the palms of her hands on your feet, planting them strongly, firmly, grounding into the earth. You feel the connection. You feel a force between your feet and the earth beneath you. You feel a cable, a powerful cable, strong, resilient, unbreakable, move from both of her hands, 2 cables moving down into the earth, deep. Deep to her home, deep to the center of the earth, deep to the fire within the earth. You feel safe, loved, connected, connected to earth. The gnomes stand there, present, witnessing. She turns to the gnomes and rises to her feet. She calls them, and she has names of love for them. It sounds like a foreign language, perhaps a little bit like Sanskrit mixed with Persian, mixed with Celtic, mixed with, oh well, a language that is ancient. And in this ancient language, she calls the gnomes, and they show their love. They sparkle for her. And she says, go forth to manifest this vision. And all the gnomes, each one individually, first taps their third eye 3 times. They connect with your vision. Tap, tap, tap. And they turn and they go out into the world through the vortex. Into the world to work the mechanics of manifestation. And then she calls for your channel of manifestation, your positive ego. Come forth. For I have bounty to give to this one. I have gifts this one desires. You are the channel for it to come into material precipitation right here to this one at this time and space of this one. And the ego, like a beautiful child, a luminous child, pure, clean, innocent, happy, comes and says, yes. And a channel is created between you, your third eye, and the third eye of your future self. It is a channel of time, of the vision where you are now, the vision of your future self, and somewhere in that space, perhaps closer to you, close by your third eye, there is a marker put for timing of manifestation. For the unfoldment of your manifestation. And your positive ego reaches up on tiptoe and is able to touch this channel between you. It becomes like a glass tube. And the ego holds it. The channel is open and ready. Earth loves you. The material plane loves you. And as you look out over the sea of spirit helpers, you see amongst them, in the further reaches, you see the collective, you see the people of the consensus, and you notice that the whole consensus is surrounding you now. That world out there, the world you consider the mundane world, is out there. The people of your consensus, people that you have considered unconscious, what are they doing here? They have been called. They're part of your consensus. They're business people, healers, doctors. There are people who know technology and science, and people who know music, art, spiritual people, laborers, clerks. Everyone, the whole gamut of society is here, witnessing, being called, being pulled to this place and time. And you look beyond them and you see office buildings and cities, airplanes flying. And they're filled with light. How is this possible? It is part of your material reality, and it is present and waiting for you. Accept it. Receive it. Allow it. You're safe love it. You're free. You're empowered. You're connected. And we're going to show you a connection. You see a network of light connecting you and some of those people out there. Connecting out a network, a lattice of light. Connecting to people out there. Your society of dreamers, those who, like you, are dreaming of the new world. All over the place, just a network. You don't see them individually, but you see the lattice work of light. And you send love into that lattice work, and it ripples like waves of light through it. It's a beautiful sight. All around the world, around you. Because your world is all on a screen, not that far away. The playground you have chosen. And that wave of light you sent out returns to you now. Open. Let it come in like a whoosh. You send another wave out, like a wave goes around the planet, returns to you like a whoosh. It's like electricity. It moves around the planet, coming back to you, whoosh. You are connected with all. So be it. It is done. With love to all and harm to none. On this day, the connection, deep connection, is made. You are safe, empowered, free, loving. Loving, touching, healing, creating with passion and connected with the divine within you. You are emerging. Your evolution into your mission. We welcome you. We congratulate you. We love you. And we are here for you any time you think of us. We can come in that beautiful column of light to surround you, to remind you of who you are. Your home. You. And we like to laugh with you and play with you. We like to love, touch, heal you. Co-create with you. It is our joy and our pleasure. So bring this now. Bring this vibration, this energy, this magic. Linking through the chaos and the creativity, through the will and the imagination, through time and space, into three-dimensional reality. Bringing yourself into awareness of you, this space around you, your body, the room. And letting your eyes open to let in the physical light while you shine the spiritual light. Oh, dear ones, it's been a pleasure to spend time with you. So much fun. We have appreciated your giving us the opportunity to be with you, to assist you in your emergence, in your evolutionary path. And we look forward to any time that we may be able to work with you again in the future, or any time that you should ask. Perhaps in the evening when you're going to bed and you turn the light out, just call us, Galexis. See the starry sky. See the collection of stars into the big star. Let us send a beam of light around you, and let yourself receive this wonderful column of light around you, and let us hold you and love you and nurture you. And give us a request. Ask for something, if you like. And then go on to sleep and let us work. And when you wake up in the morning, just notice you're a little lighter, a little freer. Our pleasure. Thank you so much for coming to be with us. We surround you, dear ones, as we always do, with our light and our love. Farewell.